Inkjet is so versatile. You can see it on in so many different platforms in so many different ways. I think it's just going to keep getting better and growing. You're going to see, one of the big issues from the print providers is where's my crossover?
What's up, everyone? It's Eric Vessels with Tactiful. Welcome back to yet another episode of Tactiful Tuesdays. 17, I think. I'm starting to lose count, but hey, it doesn't really matter. Brand new Tactiful studio with my tactical. It's not
Very
neon.
Nice.
It's LED. It's not neon. We dive deep into the world of digital print embellishment, innovation, and the leaders who are shaping the industry. Today, I'm really excited to welcome Michael Poulin, who is Director of Product Management. Is that what you are?
Senior Manager.
Senior Manager of what? What's your title?
Inkjet, Senior Manager, Inkjet Solutions.
That's right. Senior Manager of Inkjet Solutions. So, listen.
That's right. I've had a few titles. It's all right.
Yeah, no.
You get them
sure.
Mixed up.
For sure. You've been at the forefront of driving innovation in digital print. I've known you for a long time. I think most of that time at Canon. Yeah. Maybe why don't you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about your journey in the industry, kind of how you got into the industry and what are some of the things you've done?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me. This was kind of cool. My first podcast officially. I've done a few interviews, but no, I don't think I've done a podcast.
And
but
you get the one in the brand new studio with the lights.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it. I like it. I've got my SpaceX rocket in the background and some stuff. But yeah, that's actually a cool little model. We talk about that later. It actually, you can put an SD's rocket in there and actually launch it. It's kind of cool. Anyway,
wait, no. Let's talk
are we
about
gonna
it.
Start with that
We're
now.
We're gonna forget to talk about it if we don't. What? So did you build it?
No, it's my in-laws got it for me. Actually, it's. I'm a rocket nerd and I follow SpaceX and all that stuff. And they got me this and I thought it was just a cool model. And then I look and it's actually an Estes rocket. So you can put a little rocket engine in it. It's got a parachute. It launches. It's really cool.
So do you get camera footage back the whole nine? Or
you could probably rig it up. It doesn't have a camera and it's like so nice. I haven't launched it yet. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, it's like usually the thing that you're like displaying all well, you're not going to like put fuel in it and blast it into space. But that's pretty cool. Yeah, and maybe we will touch on the rocketry thing. But yeah, sidebar.
Yeah. Been in this industry for more years than I care to count. A big chunk of that was with Canon. Did a lot of work there, helped build their inkjet program, obviously. Had a lot of fun, worked for a lot of really cool people, decided to move on a few years ago, bounced around a little bit, helped out some other inkjet companies, build their production programs, and then landed at Fujifilm. And again, trying to help them build their inkjet program. They've got some awesome equipment, really cool people, and they've been in the inkjet world forever and just not so well known. They've got probably one of the best B2 products on the market. Got a really cool new roll-fed product, and that's why I'm here, to help them out. So I love doing this, love working in this industry, and really happy to get the opportunity to chat about it.
Yeah, and we were just together at the Digital Disruption event in Chicago. Just got my little care package. I don't know if you saw I did an unboxing video on LinkedIn today.
Oh, did you? No,
yeah,
I gotta check it out.
Because I got this big here. I'll show you. Saw this outside of my garage, and I was like, "What in the heck is this thing?" And it just had chocolates and popcorn and a mug and all this stuff. The digital
popcorn's killer.
Yeah, well, such a surprise. I was like, whoa, what is this? Because I got a speaking gift from while I was there as well. But Fujifilm has been really making big moves. This digital disruption event was sort of a part of that. There was a lot of announcements at Drupa, followed up at Printing United. And I know that you bring a really unique perspective on where the industry is headed, especially relative to the inkjet market. And we'll dive into some of those. But what are some of the biggest trends that you're seeing in the digital print embellishment space today, and how is Fujifilm responding to those specifically? Not, I guess, inkjet and embellishment space, right? Because they're kind of tied.
Really our focus on the embellishment has been more on the POD side, on the toner equipment and that digital disruption reveal, really focused on that. I had to get the inkjet piece in there because that's who I am, but yeah, it was kind of focused on the POD side, and I think they did a great job with it. Some of the equipment, there's the five color Revoria, six color Revoria, really focusing on bringing out those highlight colors, the pinks. We can do whites, we can do the silvers and things like that. So really, really going after that embellishment market, which better than anybody. And then on the other side, we've got coatings and films and things like that. And that's where on the inkjet side, we focus. We partner with Compaq and some others. On the B2 side, we've got a great system of putting coatings on. They've got their highlight, not highlight, that's the wrong term. I've got the flood coater and then the spot coat. Sorry, not highlight. Yeah, so they've got a spot coater as well. And we've done a lot with that. Going into the folding carton market on the B2 equipment, a lot of them, you've got to have that spot color for certain things to really highlight those specific areas of the cartons that you want to see. So that's really on the inkjet side where we focus. But we've got, like you saw during the event, really kind of pushing that on the POD side too. And then, we got the whole wide format group, which you could go almost anywhere on the wide format with some of the equipment we have. So really that just kind of takes it to another level.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think there's more, there's embellishment stuff happening in that space as well, right? Like, and it seems to me like it's getting larger and larger as inkjet technology progresses. So we often talk a lot about the wow factor in print, right? Like that's ultimately we're trying to move people in a certain direction. I mean, we teach a lot about the haptics and about behavioral economics. What are some of the most exciting embellishment applications that you've seen lately that using your technology? What do you think are some of the things that people should be focused on in terms of like really getting that wow factor from print?
Again, from the inkjet side, it's been fairly straightforward, just trying to get that grab attention, especially on the products. We've got a really big push right now to get more of our B2 product, JPRESS 750, really going after that packaging market. It's or not packaging, the flexible carton, folding carton.
Folding
We're
carton,
getting
yep.
flexible packaging and folding carton mixed.
Yeah.
Because we do have a flexible packaging machine, which don't even get me started on that one. That's a whole different group. But
Yeah,
on the
right.
folding
What
carton
don't you
side,
have?
yeah, it's. It's you've got to grab people's attention, right? And you guys had a great video of Kevin's son going through the store, and like he's touching everything, he's looking at everything, right? And that's everybody does that. It's fun to watch a kid do it, but I'm sure if you sat in any store and you watch people walk down the aisle, they're looking at things, and what catches their attention first? So you've got to you again you preach this all the time. You've got to grab people's attention and get that notice fast. So that's where we focused. And then, like I said, on the POD side, new colors, vibrant colors, making those things pop so people just it catches their attention. And then once they grab it because they've caught their attention with the color pop, you want some tactical feel that kind of this is really nice, right? And that's the direction we're really going. And I think you asked about the industry trends, like variable data was everyone had to be variable. You had to have those targeted markets, right? You had to be specific, and it had to be addressed to you. And now I think this is probably the next evolution where, all right, now you've caught their attention, you've got to hold their attention, right? And how do you do that? And obviously print is a big key, right? Because digital fatigue and all that. So getting print in front of people with that targeted message. But now, once they get it in their hands, they want to have something that makes them go, this is cool. This is nice. Let
Yeah,
me
yeah.
look at this deeper rather than, oh, they got my name on it. Okay, that's great. But now it's like, oh, wow, this is really nice. What can I do with that, right?
Yeah, and we're talking, I mean, there's a lot of talk around about actually digital or doing foil that's custom, that's variable, right? So like my name in a foil, a digital embellishment. So we're we've gone from like whenever variable data came up, right? And it was just like all of a sudden you started seeing, you know, data centers and printing plants back, you know, back in the, he's coming into the thousands. And that's almost like that's a given now. So now what can we make variable, you know, and embellishment? Like we're seeing a lot of success with like limited runs, you know, like 1 of 100, 2 of 100, 3 of 100, that's embellished, right? Somebody's name in gold. It's just tough to throw that stuff away. Like it's just, it's very tough, right? But, you know, you mentioned that whole see it, touch it, buy it was something that we presented in our keynote at the Digital Disruption event. And we talk about it all the time. That's the key, I think, where you can combine those two, exactly like you said. The print makes it pop, right? Tactile makes you, when you feel it, that creates some kind of an emotion. And then you want to not only buy it's a packaging thing, but you want to like whatever it is that's intended to do, it has a higher likelihood if it's got those, you know, fifth and sixth colors or those embellishments or those raised tactile feel. I'll share a quick story. I was at the Digital Disruption event and I was, Corey Zawadzki was there, right? My buddy, I've known him for a long time. And I'm like, hey, you know, what's going on? Let me give you a new Tactiful business card, which is tactile, actually. It has a little...
Where are you?
Yeah, right. So he hands me his and it had Soft Touch on it, right? Now I've known this guy for like 20 years. I'm connected with him on LinkedIn. Like I've got his phone number. I could text him right now. But I kept that card, like, because I'm just like, ooh, wow. Nice. I was like, sweet. This is great. You know what I mean? There's some kind of emotional connection, and I think that's what we're after. And yeah, so great point. So I wanted to get into an area that you're probably be able to speak on, because we've had rising labor costs within the print workflow, supply chain challenges, obviously coming through COVID, and it continues to be an issue. Automation has become more and more of a conversation in print. I wanted to see if you could share with me how Fujifilm is helping printers streamline their production workflow and improve efficiency, because that's really the key to addressing some of those issues is automation. And it's probably the big topic that was at that we saw at Drupa. And again, you know, at every show you go to, you're starting to see robots everywhere. You're starting to see guided vehicles everywhere. What are you guys doing to sort of help print service providers in that area?
So I think our focus is on the automation of the workflow side. You know, we've got a few other things going on, to your point, AI and how it's helping different aspects of the workflow. You know, we're trying to streamline all your pre-press activities. And again, it's kind of funny because, you know, a few years ago, we were saying how digital itself streamlines your pre-press activities and eliminates all your make readies and all the things that go on with other, you know, older technologies, and digital has gotten it so far. And now we're trying to streamline the digital even further and taking what's already fast, making it faster, making it easier, fewer touch points.
Right.
And one of the biggest solutions we have is, you know, AI pre-press, you know, dropping things into a hot folder, and it's color correcting files, it's automatically checking for fonts and missing data and things like that, touching up images, all those things that you'd have to do in your pre-press steps. We're trying to automate that, and that's all done with AI. So making that workflow just real smooth, real easy, having cloud-based color management systems so you can work from anywhere, you know, make changes from anywhere, do anything, have multiple licenses from anywhere. So a lot of just taking more steps out of that already streamlined process and, you know, taking that to the next level. That's probably one of the keys that we're working on from that respect.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was my next question, had to do with AI. So you already segued me in there. So that, I mean, I find it fascinating. Are these types of tools that are learning over time and kind of are you guys actively building models that will learn to streamline workflow better over time, or how does that work from the AI perspective?
That's a really good question. That's a little above my pay grade. I don't. I'm not really sure where they're taking this. Again, just me focusing right now on building up the inkjet side and some of the aspects that are working there. I do know some of the investments they're making are on that workflow and things like that. But where it's going to go, how they're going to get there, Man, you're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I mean, I don't know all that much. I have learned that you can train your own, you make your own GPT. And so I'm assuming that you could train on the workflow side to learn and get better and take in
Excuse me,
data
sorry.
as it's doing jobs. You know, you're taking in data and getting better and better.
Yeah, I mean, from what I do know, there are some aspects. Obviously, you don't want to drop a folder in and have it changing your images or making too many changes. You've got to have some control over that, and
Right.
you've got to be able to, over time, as you see, specific things happening, make that, okay, I want this to be standard, just do it everywhere. I want this to be selective, things like that. So that has to happen in that respect. But yeah, beyond that, ask me anything about inkjet and I'll tell you that. But
Well, I am. That's
I know you're going to get there.
my
You
next
got to
question.
give me the tough ones first.
Yeah, my next question is kind of all about inkjet, and it's basically looking future forward, right? I think inkjet has sort of shaken up, the industry, and we've seen it, that it's been the part of digital printing that's kind of taken over different areas that used to be done with different technology. Where do you see the technology going in terms of what can be done with inkjet and what the capabilities are and how it's going to shift the mix of things that may be used by print service providers and maybe even the mix of what Fujifilm offers in terms of solutions?
Well, yeah, that, see, now you're talking my language here. So we've got a really good mix of inkjet solutions. So we've got the full wide format systems with the Acuity Prime, the Acuity Ultras, the ultra wide big guys, and then the kind of mid-range with the primes, all inkjet, doing really cool things and printing on substrates that you'd never think of. So I think that's one aspect is broadening the range of substrates that all these products can print on, going out finding new applications that people just really hadn't thought of.
Yep.
So that's probably one of the biggest ones you see on our B2 line. Like I said, going into new marketplaces, the folding carton is one of the biggest ones. It's growing so fast with more and more opportunities for smaller merchants to make things and more targeted and individualized packaging and things like that. Things like breweries, there's breweries propping up everywhere and everybody's got their own design and they're making packaging for it, for six packs or whatever that may be. That's a great
Not
marketplace.
the whole Etsy.
Yeah. And people want their own brand on their own packaging.
Yeah.
That's huge. On the roll fed side, again, I think that the biggest thing is just new substrates. You've seen it over the past few years where you couldn't print on coated papers a couple of years ago, and then everyone came out with primers, and now we can print on coated papers, and now we have this solution that doesn't use a primer. Remarkably simple, but doesn't use a primer. We can print on coated papers. Quality is top notch. You see this evolution, and every time you're like, okay, we reached that next step. What's next? And that's what you're asking, right? I don't know. I mean, you see it. You see engines getting wider. They're getting faster. I think my personal opinion is it's not going to stop anytime soon. There's going to be more and more substrates. The flexible packaging press I talked about is printing on synthetics with inkjet. So you've got. I think you're going to see more crossover between engines, more flexibility from having one engine that does more. There's this inkjet is so versatile. You can see it in so many different platforms in so many different ways. I think it's just going to keep getting better and growing. You're going to see, one of the big issues from the print providers is where's my crossover? So, there's still a lot of print providers out there that are printing millions and millions of pieces, and they still it's more efficient to go with offset. So speeds increase, costs come down on inkjet, and that crossover point is getting higher and higher, where now they're putting hundreds of thousands of piece jobs on inkjet and still being vastly profitable. So it just keeps going from there.
Well, if you think about it though, if the market is sort of shifting to shorter runs with your, maker economy, the Etsy economy, your small brewery, your small whatever it is, hot sauce brand, your guys, whatever you're doing, And I think COVID drove a lot of that, right? Because people just scrambled around like, what am I going to do? I'm going to start something out of my garage. Maybe that just drives more business to the short run side of the industry. It's really hard to say. You know, there's always going to be mass quantities needed, and there's always going to be a play in between there. And this is actually a good segue to my next question, because, and I'll preface it by saying what I've seen, the printers that seem to be the most successful, they strategically have all of that, right? They can run a million of something, they can run one of something, right? And they're kind of playing around in all of that stuff. What would be your advice to a print shop, a print owner? And you talk to them, so I'm sure you do give them advice, and they ask for it or give you advice. They probably do more of that than the opposite, but who knows?
They don't want to listen to me.
How would you suggest that they future-proof their business and kind of stay ahead or stay with this evolving digital print landscape, especially in the inkjet side?
Well, I think you just nailed it, right? There's still a lot of opportunity, and a lot of the print providers have their jobs that they've had forever, their customers they've had forever, and that just kind of keeping the lights on. But if they want to continue to grow and do new things, they've got to go digital. They've got to have that flexibility. They've got to be able to print those ones, because, like you said, people created a lot of new things after COVID, and that's not going to go away, right? Now it's the norm that you've got these super customized things, and more people, especially now, I don't want to start talking generational things, but, you know, it's almost expected from, you know, the Gen Zs and the millennials, like those things that are really targeted for them. So I don't see that going away. So if you want to remain relevant, you have to have that flexibility to do those things. And so, I think it shouldn't go away, right? I think it's really cool. We've got that capability now. Why wouldn't you have everything, excuse me, specifically targeted to your buyers? And once you've got that buyer and you have their data and you know what they like, right, you want to just keep feeding that. Say, you know, hey, I see that the days of your car's up for lease, you know, come on in. Now it's like, hey, you bought a, you know, an F-150 4x4 with, you know, the V8, and here's the latest model. And it's so targeted that you get all of these specifics, and it's like, wow, that's exactly the truck I was looking at. Let me go take a look, right? And that's just from the big guys. And then when you do that on that small scale, like you said, the hot sauce, you know, whatever it is, you got to have that flexibility going forward, and that's what people are going to expect.
Yeah, for sure. Lots of opportunity still. I think you keep seeing innovation. I mean, that's what blows my mind. Like, you've been in the industry a long time. I've been in it for a quarter of a century, and like, I'm seeing these young kids showing up, just like going and buying a press and just doing something you would never freaking expect that you would do with it, right? And they're creating a business out of it. So that's enough for business. All right, hobby. What do you do when you're not working?
Well, aside from not launch the space thing, the rocket, I'm mostly fishing. So
yeah,
I love it.
Nice. You got it. You know Warren Werbit, right?
Not so much.
No, you don't know Warren Werbit? Oh, he's one of my buddies. He's the Printing is Alive, a viral video that he had. He's a print consultant, but his consulting is like, he uses fishing a lot. Like he fishes a lot. He's in Canada. I'm going to have to connect you guys. You'll have to go fishing. What primarily do you fish for? Like bass boat fishing or?
Well, I've got a little flats boat. So I try to spend most of my time on the intercoastal in the Everglades. So I live in South Florida, right? So I've got fishing everywhere.
Well, so that's why you're into the rockets. They shoot them off down there.
Yeah, so like I can see them from my backyard when they get up high enough. So that's kind of cool.
Right on.
Yeah, I fell into it when I moved down here 20 something years ago and started fishing a lot in the Everglades. Loved it. Bought a little boat a couple years ago, and my son got into it, and he and I have been fishing ever since. We try
so
to get out.
All right, so I'm from Kentucky. I have no idea about this, any of this stuff. Like, what's the primary kind of fish that you catch?
So what my son catches, because I don't catch anything, he catches everything. I don't understand it. I use
Are
the same
fishing?
Bait.
Just driving the boat.
Yeah, I just drive the boat. He outfishes me every day. I don't understand it. So we go either, it depends on what we're doing, if we're backwater or out on the intercoastal, but I really try to catch snook. That's like the prize. You really want to get those guys. They're so much fun. When they hit, it almost scares you because they hit hard. They're super aggressive. A lot of they really fight real well.
A big adrenaline rush.
Yeah, it's fun. You want to go for redfish? Those are they're super aggressive. Really fun to catch. Excuse me. And they're just so much fun. If you want to try to get fish to eat, redfish is always fun. They're tough to find. There aren't as many of them. I had a couple of big fish kills over the past few years. That isn't good, but then there's just fun fish to catch. Mangrove snappers everywhere, so you can catch those all day long. There's if you go,
Like mostly a catch and release situation though, because
yeah,
they're
most of the time is there if you get a big enough one, you can keep them. And then there's just if you get out in the intercoastal, there's little jacks, which are again super fun to catch. I mean, that's the great thing about Florida is there's so much to so many fish here. They're all fun, and it's cool. And it's you get up early in the morning, you get out there, it's peaceful, it's quiet,
I
you're
mean
on the
that's the
water.
That's
Yeah.
the biggest thing about it, right? Is like you're out.
Yeah.
Like you're out in nature, you're doing something. It's like, that's I hear that from hunters too. Like they're just it's getting away. There's something about just, the being in nature that sort of sometimes that's I just do that. Just hikers, same thing. So that's awesome. But I'm definitely gonna have to connect you with Warren. Well, Michael, I appreciate you being on Tactical Tuesdays. It's been great talking to you. Yeah, I know it's you haven't been long with Fujifilm, but great team there. We're working really close with you guys, and it's such a great relationship. And we're just trying to make everyone as successful as possible with on the digital embellishment side, and continue working together. So thanks a lot.
I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
What's the best piece of marketing advice that you've ever received? And do you still follow it today?
Best piece of, I will tell you what that piece of marketing advice is.
I was hoping that you wouldn't hold on to it.
Those who know me know I can be strong-willed and I will voice my opinion. I will listen
I like to
to
call
other
it consistent.
perspectives.
I call it consistent.
Thank you. So I was being consistent with a manager of mine and
I'm gonna so use that. I was not being belligerent. I was being consistent with you.